Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
On Truth Social, the president-elect says on January 20th, one of my first executive orders, I will sign all necessary documents to charge Mexico and Canada a 25% tariff on all projects coming into products, coming in the U.S. He's putting pressure on drugs. He also talks about a 10% tariff on China. This isn't new news that he was going to do this, but it is his latest declaration. Patrick DeHaan, who I follow on the Twitter machine, at GasBuddyGuy, responded to this. Higher gas prices are coming primarily for the Great Lakes states. Oh, goody. That includes us. Patrick with another tweet. Why? Because refineries in the Great Lakes, Rockies, and Midwest rely on Canadian heavy crude oil for feedstock to refine. If these millions of barrels are tariffed at 25%, they are basically going to mandate refineries to pay a lot more for feed. Guess who pays? End users, consumers. Is there any doubt, Patrick, if the president-elect gets his way, that those of us living somewhere in the upper Midwest in the next few months after his election are going to be paying more for gas?
Well, that's the biggest question. Is this going to happen? Is this negotiation tactic? I mean, it's hard to know, right? I think Trump's record is he says something, but he doesn't always mean it. So
right. Yep.
Is this one of those things where, you know, there's a clear risk. If these tariffs happen on Canadian crude oil, it's going to mean about an increase in $15 a barrel. That $15 a barrel divides up to about 35 cents a gallon, although it'd probably be more in summer because Canadian oil is heavy, takes more refining, essentially, more distillation to get as much gasoline. There's a lot of desulfurization that has to happen, which is expensive. Ultimately, if the tariffs happen, they're going to hit you and I really hard because, as I mentioned, refineries, you know, Superior, Wisconsin, St. Paul, a lot of the refineries in our neck of the woods throughout the Great Lakes, Midwest, and Rockies, I mean, we have a direct pipeline from Canada. And you don't just change. It's like going to the parts store, right? Your car runs on this. You can't just buy a completely different type of oil and put it in your car. I mean, you can. There's you know, drastic consequences. But refineries are the same way. These refineries were designed and built to run specific oils. They're stuck needing Canadian oil. So, you know, I've heard folks say, oh, the U.S. can produce more. Well, not really. We don't produce a lot of this heavy crude oil. The U.S. produces light, sweet crude oil, and that's why a lot of our stuff gets exported. So there's no way around this, really. If the tariff hits, it's going to hit you and I to the tune of 35 to 75 cents every time we fill our tanks.
Okay, on that, has there, you know this so much better than me, has there ever been a push to include this type of crude considering what is necessary for this part of the country?
Push it in what way?
Well, for the U.S. to say, we're going to have refineries who do this along with what they normally are doing right now, so the reliance on Canada wouldn't be as strong.
Well, here's the problem with that, is Canada has no market for its crude oil aside from these refineries, right? They send us 4 million barrels a day. And without you know, refineries down here, they'd have no market. So the beauty of it for refineries, why do refineries run Canadian oil? It was reliable, and it's always been cheap.
Yeah.
Why is it cheap?
Sure.
Because where is Canada going to send it? They don't have any other options.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mutual interest. U.S. refineries buy this oil at a big discount. Well, that big discount could be going in the way in form of higher tariffs. So you can't. It's very difficult. If Trump were to say, well, you know, let's change these refineries to process more U.S. oil, it would take years and billions of dollars for every single refinery in this region to suddenly make this change. It's expensive.
Patrick DeHaan is with us, Gas Buddy Guy, on Twitter. Again, the president is saying the 25% tariffs, and he's mentioning fentanyl and illegal aliens stopping the invasion of our country. Most of us think about that with Mexico, not Canada. What is your sense on the reaction from the Trudeau administration and how they might try to respond to the president-elect on this?
It's tough to know. Generally, Trump has been seen as more of a harsh negotiator, not willing to give up ground. So will Canada bend backwards to make that happen, or will Canada say enough's enough? Or, I mean, Trump's Trudeau in Canada has his own political challenges. I believe there will be an election in Canada eventually. So will Trudeau say, all right, we'll roll with this, and will, you know, another Canadian administration look at it completely differently? I think it's probably not good business sense to your neighbors to treat them this way, to suddenly say, we're going to do this if you don't do this, right? That's not usually what friends do and allies do. So I think the risk is that if the U.S. miscalculates, yeah, Trump may get his way, but at what cost? There's a steep cost there. The friendship, you know, is two-way. I think Trump is thinking this friendship is more one-way, and so it could hurt the U.S. in the long haul.
I think also he's looking to show the public he's going to get a win, right? And he feels like he has more of a lever, more of a power with Canada. There's no comparison with the conversation on immigration, fentanyl with Canada versus Mexico. So if he gets any sort of conciliatory move, he will show, guess what? My tariffs or my tariff threats work. And then he'll brag about the money he saved us. And by the way, the money wouldn't have been saved if he wouldn't have threatened the tariffs in the first place.
And the other worries an analyst I have in addition to that is, when is Canada going to say, well, the U.S. is no longer, you know, our most reliable trading partner. Why don't we build pipelines so we don't have to rely on the U.S., just like U.S. companies have done in China, where the situation is less stable? U.S. companies have said, let's diversify. When does this put the U.S. at risk for countries diversifying away from us?
How realistic is that for Canada?
I mean, they already built the Trans Mountain Pipeline. The Canadian government bought a pipeline from Kinder Morgan that connects from Alberta to Vancouver, and that is now 1 million barrels a day of capacity. That's 1 million barrels a day of Canadian oil that now heads out of the United States. And, you know, if the Keystone Pipeline's built, that's actually going to be another route that Canadian oil could take down to be exported out of the United States. So there's a risk here, and Trump has said he may approve the Keystone. I don't know if TransCanada or TC Energy will build it, but if you do, you're basically giving Canada another way to export oil away from the United States, and that's a risk because we do rely on that oil.
You're short, so I'll finish with this broad question. When you look at how Trump Term 1 handled oil, refineries, gas prices, and you contrast that with the soon-to-be-done Biden administration, how would you lay that out to people who trust your expertise in this area?
Well, I think Trump is generally less hostile to the oil sector. I think he's more friendly. He likes to deregulate. This tariff is completely the opposite of that. And I think Biden was certainly much less open to being friendly with the oil industry. And I think a lot of people would overestimate or underestimate the potential there. I think Biden got a really bad draw because he came into the White House and we saw a superheated U.S. economy, which caused a lot of imbalances. And there was also a Russia war in Ukraine, a major oil producer waging war that is outside of a president's control. But he also didn't help by immediately shutting down the Keystone and basically putting a target on oil companies' back. So generally, you know, Biden was less friendly. Trump is going to be more friendly. That's what he's said. But this is not so much of a friendly move. This would potentially backfire.
And the last thing real quick, gas prices are low right now because?
Seasonality. Americans drive less, and because a lot of those imbalances that we felt 2 years ago have finally normalized after a couple of years. Russia's war in Ukraine is no longer new. It's no longer as major of a risk. And COVID imbalances have been solved by the Federal Reserve raising interest rates. That has successfully slowed the economy. It's slowed oil demand here. And China has helped us out by seeing a slowdown in their economy as well.
Patrick, excellent. Thank you so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll reach out down the line.
You as well. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Are you prepared for the tariff roller coaster? It's counter to free trade, which has been a huge part of Republican philosophy. And when people say, okay, wait, you're a big lefty. First of all, you're wrong. I just know Donald Trump's a raging narcissist, and I don't want him near the White House. But when I talk about leaning right economically, free trade is one example. Now, getting rolled on and countries taking advantage of you? No. And, you know, he is the guy who wrote the book, Art of the Deal. He thinks of negotiations one way. I think that was such a good point by Patrick. I mean, a lot of people think, okay, how can we make a deal that's good enough for both sides so we're going to get a deal? Trump thinks, how am I going to get a deal that's great for me? Well, all of us would like the deal that's great for us, but shockingly, the other side gets a word.
He's like an annoying fantasy football owner.
Yeah.
You give me a Lamar Jackson.
I'll give you Nick Muse, who the Vikings just cut.
Exactly right.
But, you know, so we were a part of inflation. Let's be honest again. It's still out there, and it was a huge advantage to Donald Trump in winning every single swing state. And Biden and Harris, their PR on this, matching reality, was awful. Because we are doing better than many Western countries. The improvement is there. But as I've said a bunch of times last month, if you're in Duluth and you're going to the grocery store, you don't care that, hey, I'm better than the folks in Dusseldorf. So if we're going to, like, again, when he's just lying to us. Well, let me just be crystal clear. Lying to us when he says, here's how tariffs work. When we put a tariff on, they're just going to have to pay more money. No, we're going to pay for it. Now, he is bluster. And a lot of negotiating is bluster. I don't want the tariffs to happen. I'd like our inflation to go the other way. To me, there are so many things set up for Donald Trump to pat himself on the back, separate his shoulder, saying the economy's rolling. Because some parts of the economy are doing well. And the further we get away from inflation, the better. Tariffs, I think they're going to take us back the other way. Where do you stand on tariffs? And by the way, oh, I'm excited to pay 35, 50, 70 cents more. And we're really going to blame Trudeau and folks coming in from Canada and Canada and the fentanyl crisis? Really? That's the energy right now to cause us to pay more gas prices? Hell no for me.